Lord bless you. Lovely day to worship the Lord. It's a lovely every day, all the time. No matter what, it doesn't depend on the weather, but we know the Lord said he'd be here, and he is here. Shall we commence our service by singing 575, which is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Shall we stand as we sing? The chorus is, but there's something about that name, and I've had it proved to myself many times over the years, more so the later years than the earlier years. When I hear the name Jesus, other than in churches and around that people you know, besides that, I mean, suddenly I've taken note, Jesus, who's called that name? Who was that person? What was that about? Was that complaint or worship? Suddenly I'm aware of it, the name Jesus. Let's sing it once more and just think about the time that you might have heard the same thing, and let us be one of them that praises that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus. Thank you. often feel myself being stirred when I hear and read about the name of Jesus. Something happens inside. It's not put on, it's there. I just recognize it and very grateful for it. Let's sing 584, All Hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus.
Just worship our Lord in prayer at this moment. Welcome him here this morning. Lord Jesus, it's you, Lord, who we come to meet. True, Lord, you are with us during the night, yesterday, and all the previous of our life, and you will be until you come. But Lord, we welcome you. Always we welcome you. We get excited when we know that we're going to be close to you in a certain situation, and we're so very grateful for that. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you be with the folks that aren't able to be here today, those that would like to be here, those that are listening, and bless them, Lord. You are ever present, doesn't matter where we are, which city we're in, which country we're in, north or southern hemisphere, Lord, you're there. Immediately, if we call upon the name of Jesus, there you are. We love you, Lord, and we just ask that you watch over us, Lord, in this service. Cause us, Lord, to receive what you want us to have. And Lord, if we're hungry for the things of God, we will receive it. He knows exactly what we're after, what we should have, and he's the one that sees that we will have it. We ask these things in your holy and precious name. Amen and amen. Number 8 is As I Journey Through the Land. Singing as I go. Some of us sing more than others. Is that right, Pauline?
As I journey. Thank you.
Number 10, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees, till in your own good time you answer my pleas. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Just made me think of Brother Brian Freeborn and Howard was there at the time when he took us out to the mountains close to Adelaide, and we saw these birds flying around, and I forget the birds, I think they were crows, were trying to reach the eagles that were just flying around quietly, nicely. It wasn't an eagle, it was about 5, 6, 7 maybe. And the crows tried to come up to the eagles for whatever purpose. In fact, when Brian Freeborn gets here, I might ask him to tell you folks how they do that and why they do it. But what did the eagles do? They didn't go flutter and get away. They just caught the airwaves and up they went. And just to watch them just going around slow, they didn't wait. They just went up and up and up, and the crows were trying to catch them. They just couldn't get to the same height. They just couldn't do it. They finally went down. Then the eagle slowly came down. We saw that over, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes or something like that to watch. It was really good. Brian actually informed us that it was likely to happen with the crows when they come up. So that was very good. Just reminded me about it when we sung it there. Let's sing here, number 22, I Heard an Old, Old Story, How a Savior Came from Glory.
I heard an old, old story,
How a Savior came from glory.
wasn't aware of any items this morning, but we have one now. Jewett, she just found out about it. That'd be good. It's good to see Gracie here. I knew you were here a week or two up there with your dad and mum up camping. Good to see you. Lord bless you. And Thomas has gone home, I gather. Praise the name of the Lord. Two sisters in the Lord and two natural sisters. Pauline, was there any other items at all? Peter Kurangi, not got an item? No. Okay. Do we have any prayer requests here that anybody would like? Because we have none on the internet. If anybody has any private, unspoken prayer requests, just give it to the Lord. Expect to hear from Him. And you people that listen in on the internet, wherever you are, just keep that what you have between you and God. And just see that He undertakes. Doesn't matter where we are, if we call on the Lord, He hears. Okay, well, let us just pray. Precious Jesus, we are a privileged people to know that we have access to Almighty God, the Creator of heavens and earth. And we love You, Lord, not as much as You love us, But we do love you. We do try. And Lord, we want to use the love that you gave us to return the same love back to you, Lord, and with grateful thanks. We know, Lord, that you've watched over us from the day that we were born until the time that you come. Lord, undertake for everybody that has needs. We had nothing specific to pray about that we know of, but we know, Lord, there is many millions of needs in this world today. Some of them are absolutely horrendous, tremendous needs for people and families. And Lord, even here in New Zealand, in the city of Nelson, just out from Nelson anyway, in the South Island, Wakefield, I think it is, where they've got a very, very severe forest fires, and one house has burned that we know of, and it's pretty dangerous. So we just pray for the situation there. Just be with the firefighters and the ambulance people and the aircraft. I understand there's about 22, 23 aircraft, helicopters alone just flying around trying to put it out. Undertake for them, Lord. Lord, we just remember the meetings on this coming Friday, Saturday and Sunday here in this auditorium. And Lord, when Brian Freeborn is here, just bless the people that want to be blessed. Help those that you want for them to hear what there is to be said. There's nothing new, but it is just refreshing to hear the things of God that you've promised us. We're knowing that it's for us. Lord, we pray for those people on the internet all over the world. We particularly think of those in Singapore and Malaysia, those in Australia, those in America, and the fact is, Lord, everywhere. Uplift them, Lord. It's just the ones that we actually know of. We know the need. Be with them, Lord. May they just come to you. That's all any of us can do, is come on our knees to the Lord and say, Lord, undertake in my need. There's people with needs for healing, people that have problems with families, breakdown in social activities, Lord, and families that need to rejuvenate and to come in as one unto the Lord. Those people that are thinking about making a decision because they've been touched by God. The Holy Spirit has told them that they need to move, need to do something. Those people I particularly ask for, Lord, uplift them and keep them. We think of those people that we were at Tokomara Bay last Sunday. Lord, just bless them. It was a nice meeting, Lord. The presence of the Holy Spirit was there. The people were just receiving what was given, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just be with them, Lord. We pray for the people for this meeting that Brian's having, and I've just mentioned, Lord. People that have said that they will come, people that have received invitations, see that they come, Lord. It's no good saying, yes, I'd like to come and not come. They need to come. Lord, help everybody that you want to be here to be here. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Notice as we have here is a lunch as usual today after the service. 1 p.m. service this afternoon as usual, and the Tuesday 7 p.m. prayer meeting as usual. For the people that may be somewhere near Gisborne that are listening on the internet, if you're around or can be in Gisborne this coming Friday, 15th at 7 p.m. in this auditorium, will be a service with Brother Brian Freeborn. Then again, the next day, Saturday the 16th at 7 p.m., Brother Brian Freeborn again. And then next Sunday in this auditorium, 17th, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., we have services again, finally, with Brother Brian Freeborn. and everybody is welcome. And just encouragement, get people to come, welcome them, give them the invitations, as you've seen, given out. And it might be a good idea to remind people that you've given it to. Or remember that invitation that you received last week or a few days ago, just as a reminder. Sometimes it's all they need, or ask and see if you can pick them up and bring them along. May the Lord undertake for those needs in the notices. Well, let us stand and sing our number 100. One Sat Alone Beside the Highway Begging. I particularly like this hymn. Just it appeals to me because I know of the truth of it. And it's not just the fellow we're singing about. It's people in our midst that may well need that special touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. One sat alone beside affected. I can hardly sing this chorus at times because I know the truth of it. But what really makes me sad is what I try to tell people, that Jesus is the answer to all your needs. You may be seated. All your needs. No matter what you bring or to the Lord, He can handle it. And in the chorus there it says, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. In other words, Jesus overrides Satan, kicks him out with all power, no doubt. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. There's a lot of sadness in people's lives. But Jesus is the answer. He takes away the gloom and He fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And so often the sad part I find telling some people, they believe it for me, but they cannot believe it for themselves. Trying to get through to them, look, this is the answer. Receive the Lord. The ability to do it. Well, I soon learned that I can't do it, but the Lord can. Just keep praying for the people that you are praying for. Let the Holy Spirit do the work for you. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. Who loves the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, boy, these songs are getting me too. They make me cry, Lee. Loved your song, One Day Too Late. Such tragedy. One day too late. They knew what to do, but they left it too late. I was thinking about those in Noah's day. Yes, I must go on that ark. Should it rain, I must get in there. But they're one day too late. There's going to be such a cry go up. There's going to be such a wail. Such a wail. You know, brother and sister, if we all had one glimpse of glory and one glimpse of hell, it'd be all over. I was telling a brother up at Tokomaru Bay that there's no unbelievers in hell, not one. There'll all be believers there, but it's one day too late. You see, brother and sister, these things are very serious. I can't even emphasize the urgency that we're living. To think that we rub shoulders with people who won't be there because they left it one day too late. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power will be broken. What we need is the great anointing of the Holy Ghost here. Who believes that?
Amen.
And out wherever you are, wherever you people are, may God bless you all. I greet my sister Marlene, who's in Tucson, Arizona. She's listening in this morning. And probably her husband Wilson. May God bless them. And all you other folks out there from different countries, God bless you. Sorry we weren't here last week. It's my fault for not letting you know, really. But I was in the wilderness. I couldn't really contact anyone to tell you that there won't be a service here, but I don't think we're going to do this anymore. I think we'll always have a service here on Sunday, always, regardless. I feel it's our responsibility to be here. Maybe a group could go up, maybe, but I think that we should be here. We had a family, Brother Jack, and his wife, Sister Sue, and their fellowship came here on that Sunday, last Sunday, and nobody was here. And it's happened before, and it's not good enough. I think we've failed the Lord. Not you guys. Me. And I pray that God will help us to be more reverent, more sincere. We have a responsibility to get this gospel out to whomsoever will. I just want to say this from the bottom of my heart that time is running out. There's no question. I feel the urgency that the coming of the Lord is a lot closer than people understand. We need to be ready. And don't leave it and be one day too late. Why didn't I bother? Why didn't I go to church? Why didn't I make that effort? Why didn't I get on my knees and pray at night? Be one day too late. It's a really good song, that. You better travel with us and sing it everywhere you go. Okay? Praise God. So, I wonder, just thankful that we can come to the house of God. Looking forward to Brother Freeborn being here. I just want to say this about Brother Freeborn. I don't say it because I know I'm all. But I believe he's a true anointed servant of God. Truly is. And what he preaches, he believes. And he lives it. And I pray that God will mightily use him. There's lots of notices gone out, as Brother Lee said. Two this week. She's quite a lady. A Sri Lankan lady around the corner shop here. I put them in the Brother Andy's letterbox here just across the road. I've told people, I've given them cards. I hope you've been reaching out to these souls, because one day, maybe one day too late for them. But God will somehow speak to their hearts and draw them closer to him. For the time, the countdown is on. And time is running out. We must be sincere. We must be sincere. Don't ever come to church with insincerity. Always come prayed up. Pray for the service. Pray that God will move on your heart. And everyone that comes, including mine. Just love the Lord. Who loves him?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Shall we stand for the reading of God's word? From the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, which says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fastings, and with weeping, and with mourning." And rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we come to thee this morning. Our hearts are swelling, Lord, knowing this world is in a serious state, Lord, and so many will be lost. And Lord, what are we doing to tell them? Not just with our words, but with our life. I pray, Lord, you'll bless your word to us this morning. Make it live in our soul, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray your anointing would rest upon each one. Lord, how we need thee to come and speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those listening around the world will also be challenged and encouraged this morning, knowing the lateness of the hour and the seriousness of these things. And Lord, we don't want to be one day too late. We want to be walking close to you. We want to be found doing when you return, Lord. We ask this blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want to, for a title of the sermon, take verse 13, which says, "Rend your heart and not your garments." Lord, the Lord really quickened this to me, and I pray he'll make it real to you. Rend your heart and not your garments. Now, God has a way of expressing his feelings very clearly in the Word. Do you know God's got feelings? Who knows God's got feelings? He knows when you love him and he knows when you despise him. Now that hurts him because he gave us everything for you. He laid his life on the line for your soul. And we serve him when it suits us. We come to him when we've got a bit of spare time. But other than that, he's neglected. So in our first reading, verse 13, is very expressive of God's heart. In Bible's days, it was common for prophets and kings to rend their garments. It was. It's in the Bible everywhere. They rend their garments. And rend means to tear or rip their clothes. They rip them. And that is an expression, outward expression of one's shame, repentance, sometimes anger, when they rent their clothes. But you know, God's interest is in the heart of man. I want to speak about that. God's interest is in the heart of man. And God always bypasses the outward show of expression. Did you know that? He always does. And goes direct to the inward thoughts of one's heart. He doesn't mess around with our little show. Our rending of our garments does not impress him. It may impress you. It may even impress others, but it doesn't impress God. We're not saying that we do not have outward expression, because we do. And that's how we are made. We express ourselves in many ways. We weep, we laugh. We express joy in many ways. We show love by the things we do for one another. So there is an expression. Even to God, we have outward expression of our love to him by outward worship and prayers and clapping our hands. Sometimes dancing and singing and praise him out loud. We do that's expression. These outward expressions manifest in many ways and various ways. Even how we live, how we dress, is an expression of our love to God. It's another example of our love to him. Also, good deeds to others are all outward expressions of our love to God. And these things are good and acceptable to God. But there is a danger. A danger of hypocrisy. And this is what our Lord is addressing. I pray by the grace of God that he'll show me and show you, all of us listening, what we should be doing. These outward expressions are good and fine until there's a conflict with the outside expressions, with the inside heart. Conflict. You know, people down the street see that too. People you work with see the difference. Say one thing and act another way. Confusing to them. God cannot tolerate hypocrisy. That's one thing he will not take. Listen to me, brother and sister. God will not tolerate hypocrisy. Not in his kingdom. There will be no hypocrisy in the kingdom of God. How many of us have walked down this way in life's journey? But if we are a child of God, he will most certainly bring a correction in our life. He will do it. Amen.
because he loves you. And people don't mean to be like this, but it subtly slips up on us. This hypocrisy, two standards. May God help us. So what does rendering of our garments imply? We know it's not ripping our coats or our dresses or something. I can honestly say it implies many things. The rendering of the garments. As we all know, our garments are obviously external. So God is speaking about external works and worship. We can show external worship, but alas, it may not be real. There's people who dance and jump and shout and all over the stage and everything else, and wow, they are so spiritual, but it may not be real. We can praise with our lips, have great singing, great prayers. We may even preach and teach well. And all these are all external expressions. And these can be seen by others. But I want to say this morning, that God is looking deeper than the external. The Lord wants to know this. Are these external things corresponding with the internal heart? Jesus said this in Mark 7:6. It says this. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart, the internal, is far from me. God sees that. He answered and said unto them, next verse, sister. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. See, the pots and cups are external. They've been washed, but the heart is unaffected. Now, this bothers me. Brothers and sisters, this bothers me. May not bother you, but I'll tell you what, it bothers me. I do not want to be a hypocrite before the Lord. You cannot fool God. He sees everything about you. I'm glad he does. Sometimes a lot of garment rendering is in the form of, I've seen it many times, running to the altar in some sort of repentance. It looks good, but you know, it can actually be a rendering of the garment. Now listen carefully. Oh, a few tears sometimes, but the heart is actually untouched. Oh, pray for me, brother, for a closer walk with God, they say. And walk out of the church with a heart untouched. As Brother Freeborn said to me I just heard him say it. You preach a sermon from the bottom of your heart. People go out in the foyer and outside for a half an hour, chatting away, and nothing's mentioned about the word. Something's wrong. They have ears, but they hear not. So we see the heart can be untouched, even though the garments can be, it could look like a real renting of the garments and tears and, oh, pray for me, brother. But when they go out, there's no difference. There's no change in the heart. The heart's untouched. God help us. You see, brother and sister, our walk with God is between you and God. Not you and God and the preacher, for instance. At church, we ask the preacher to pray. At home, we seldom get into serious prayer with God. It all happens here on the carpet. I'm not just saying here, but a lot of places. We seldom get into serious prayer with God alone. Seldom. When did you last have a serious time with the Lord? A rending of the heart. Ask yourself. When did you really ask God to search your heart? I'm not saying people cannot pray for you, because they can. I believe they should. But Brother Branham said, a baby has to do its own crying. You ever seen a baby sitting in a high chair and sitting there getting hungrier and hungrier? It says, Johnny, would you cry for me? Would you really cry for me, Johnny, that tell Mum that I'm hungry? Johnny walks off. He's too busy. Maybe Mary. Mary, would you come and help? Would you like to go and get Mum to get me some food? I'm really hungry. Mary says, I got my friends coming. I'm too busy. I'm going. And all of a sudden, that baby cries out, wah! And everyone hears. And everyone takes note because he's crying for himself. You can't get the preacher to pray for you all day long. You can't get the evangelist to come and pray for you. Brother and sister, you need to cry out to God yourself. Do your own crying. Own seeking the Lord. There's no use running up long prayer of repentance with our lips. And our heart is far from Him. We say all the right words. We say all these things all outward. Outward garments. Outward expression. And it's okay if it's backed up with something else. An internal desire of the soul. Of the heart. Reminds me, long ago, long time ago, I used to catch shoplifters. It's just the job I was in. Caught them all the time. Put them through court. I got sick of it. But I used to catch them. I just seemed to have a knack for it. I think it was the Lord, actually. I'd be working on the shelf, and I could feel a shoplifter walk past me from behind. Just felt it. That's all there is to it. And I used to catch these people, and I wait till they went through the checkout area. We weren't allowed to say anything to them until they got out into the street. So I used to go out into the street and ask them, have you paid for everything? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I used to say, what about that salmon that's in that bag there on the left-hand side? Because I had a little spy hole. I could see everything. I knew where all the products of the shop were. As the manager, I knew how and where they were and what they were doing. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I said, you better come back to the shop, we'll sort this out. And when we got them back inside, they always said, oh, I'm sorry. Out came the tears and the handkerchiefs. It was all outward expression. And I said, what are you sorry for? I often said this, especially with young school kids, high school kids. I said, why are you sorry? They looked at me. I said, are you sorry because you have stolen these things? Or are you sorry because you've been caught in the act? You see, brother and sister, we can act sorry, but in our hearts it's untouched. There's no conviction that they've done something wrong. And some people come crying to the altar, feeling sorry for themselves, that they might go to hell. And a lot of people, that's the extent of it, to keep me out of hell. But are we truly sorry? that Jesus had to die for our sins. That we've offended him and hurt him. Is any consideration of that? It was all about me. All so much rendering of outward garments can look impressive to others, but not to God. And God wants our hearts to be touched and cleansed. Jesus gives us an example in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. He says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Ooh. He's calling the preachers hypocrites here. "For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Verse 26. "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and the outside of them may be clean also, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You know, brother and sister, when you're praying at home in your closet and you're waiting on God, you're not worrying about men on the outside looking. They're not there to hear or see. It's between you and God. Such hypocrisy. We wonder why the power of God is not moving as it ought to. There's too much outward religious emotion. Brother and sister, I've seen it. You've seen it. For years. People dancing around the place. And I'm not against dancing. I think it's great if God's in it. Expressing themselves, that's great. As long as it's all the way down to the soul. When what is needed, when the outward religious emotion, what is really needed is a true heartfelt repentance. And this is becoming so rare today, but greatly needed. We need great repentance in the heart. Asking God to forgive us of our sins. Pleading the blood of Jesus Christ upon our life. He will forgive you, but have you asked him? Or you just rather come up the front, and I'm not saying about our church, I'm just talking about in general. You'd rather come up the front and all the preachers pray for you and you feel better now because I felt the preacher's hand on me. No. There's got to be a rending of the heart. A ripping. A breaking down of the heart before God. Otherwise it's hypocritical. Sometimes people try to impress themselves to others outwardly. And Jesus said in Mark 12, 38 to 40, he says, "And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go out in long clothing with their long preacher robes and love salutations in the marketplace. Oh, God bless you, pastor, out in the street. And the chief seats in the synagogues and the utmost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation." God hates this. Let us rend our hearts today. I cannot do it for you. You've got to go to God yourself and do your own crying. Don't get Johnny or Mary to help you. You're going to have to get down on your knees and ask God to get right to your heart and see if there's really something in there. And if it's not, ask him to come into your heart and make you a living creature. After all, that is all God is looking for. It says in Psalm 34:18, says this, the Lord is nigh unto them, close to them, that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That humility, that sincerity God's looking for towards him, not the church, not the people, not the pastors, but towards God. The rending of our own hearts is what catches God's attention. Even though he sees our outward actions, which are okay, God digs deeper than the surface. He's here this morning. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12-13, for the word of God is quick, is very quick, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints of the marrow. And listen to this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the display of your life. Does your Bible say that? No. Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's no hiding place except under the blood of Jesus. Getting into Christ and asking him to forgive you. Lord, make me a real believer. Don't let me be a make-believer. I've got all doing all the right things. I have a long dress and, you know, the old story. I pay my tithes and I do all these things. That's very nice. But what about the heart? Brother Branham made that statement once. Man can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit come on him, like David, he said. Can have all these things. Anointed to serve God can have all these things. And your heart can be as dark as pitch. I tell you what, David went into a heart-searching time. He cried out to God, oh God, be merciful unto me. And he really wondered why the Psalms are such a blessing to us today. It's because David was doing a searching job. He was claiming to serve the Lord. He was claiming to be a servant of the God. He was anointed king of Israel. And God blessed him. Then he went and took another man's wife and corrupted her and had her husband killed. What evilness in the heart of a man who claimed to be spiritual. Brother, sister, we've got to rend our hearts, not our garments. The garments can look good, but the heart can be terrible. It can be as black as pitch. In Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In Psalm 51:17 we read, the sacrifices of God, this is the sacrifices of God. A good preacher? No. A broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. God's looking, he's not looking at your pretty dresses or your nice suits or how well you present yourself, how successful you are.
He sees everything. He's interested in one thing. Will you have a contrite heart, a broken spirit? You rend your heart every day in prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart today, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Not, Lord, am I dressing properly, or am I looking right, or have I cleaned my car? Those things are good. But that's not what he's talking about. May God deal with us all this morning. True repentance is fading fast today. It's fading fast. And Jesus said, when he returns, shall he find faith upon the earth? You can search that in Luke 18:8. Plenty of outward show, but very little rendering of the heart. Let us, you know, it's like I say before, people go in the meeting and they're all shouting, praising God. You can hear them shouting and doing all their things, and that's nothing wrong with that. I've seen so much of it. I've seen it here in this foyer. We've had people come to this church and say, this is where I should be. Brother, I'm so glad God brought me here. I'm so thankful that he's brought me into this place. Now we know what to do. Where to come. Never saw them again. Hypocrisy. Outward emotion. But actually the heart was untouched. Plenty of outward show, but little rendering of the heart. The rending of the garments looks very impressive to others, but not to God. Unless the heart has been rendered. Let's all pray for a deeper, genuine heart searching between God and us alone. Shall we stand for prayer? Precious Lord Jesus, we come to thee this morning. We see the seriousness of the things that have been said, Lord, that you said in your word. Rend your heart and not your garments. Not what church you go to. It's nothing to do with what church you go to. Has your heart been rent? The Bible says our hearts were rent. They were pricked in the axe when they realized they crucified the Lord of glory. The Bible says, Lord, they are pricked in their hearts. So, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? That's the issue today, Lord. What are we doing about it? Good churchgoers we are, but what about our hearts? Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you'll bless every brother and sister here and those listening with us. I pray, Lord, that these words will not fall to the ground, but go deep into the soul. And there's searching going on. Search my heart, Lord. You know what my heart is, Lord. You know what I pray. You know what I'm looking for. I pray that you'll grant it to us, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if you don't search us, we're without hope. You said it's by the goodness of God that he leadeth you to repentance. I pray that you'll lead us to true repentance, Lord, from the heart. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a spirit within me. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a spirit within me. Thank you.
not just singing a song. That's a confession. Create in me a clean heart, Lord, not a pretty dress, not a position in the church, not a great ministry. And renew a right spirit within me. That's all God wants to see. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Shall we sing the whole song again? Create in me. Upon these words, rend your heart and not your garments. May God be merciful. Brother Lee, would you like to come and close in prayer? Does anybody want prayer? Anyone want prayer? Just sing this one, Cast Me Not Away. Cast me not away, thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me joy of thy salvation.
Amen and amen. You know, you're not comfortable as a Christian unless you actually have that response in your heart to hear what we just heard. Unless there's something live in there, we haven't heard it. If it's just in the head, we haven't heard what was said. And it applies in our life. Everything that we have, everything that we do, think, say, the people we meet, it's got to be life in there that comes out, not a head knowledge. They don't want to hear that. They just want to see the life that the Lord's placed in your heart. Praise the name of the Lord. I just thought we'd sing Mercy Rewrote My Life, if we would there. And it is true that it did. Mercy rewrote my life. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Have your way in my life, I pray. Thank you. confirm it to our heart that we know mercy rewrote my life. None of us can speak for anybody else, family, friend, whomsoever. It's only me and God in my case, and you and God in your case. Thank you, Lord, that you did have that mercy, that love for us. Just bless the sermon that we've heard to our hearts. We also ask that you bless the food, the Lord, we're about to take for the luncheon. Bless the fellowship and be with the meeting this afternoon. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.